And welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologues. Today, I have Anthony Church with me. He is a music producer. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got started?
Absolutely. Again, thank you for having me today. I'm glad to be here. And so I started music in 2006, officially started producing. I actually got started with my friend who I've known for 20 years. He's an artist as well. He goes by the name of J Trey, but I've known him long before we started music. We got started together at a high school.
Yes.
So he agreed that he was going to be a rapper and I was going to do the beats for him. So I started producing his albums and that's really how I got started. But just started making music every single day. Mm-hmm. I downloaded a software called FL Studio.
Yes.
And just started using that and watching YouTube tutorials, doing all that. So it's been coming up this summer, it'll be 8 years total.
Wow.
And producing now. So just putting in the work and trying to get better. Mm-hmm. And then I also host a music podcast called the Proven Knowledge Podcast that I started in 2020, like around the time of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I had some free time. I had gotten laid off from one of my part-time jobs around that time. So I had heard like different music podcasts. I just because I had more time on my hands. Mm-hmm. I was like, it would be cool to do a show where I interviewed this and producers and just different musicians that I was a fan of or people I worked with. Mm-hmm. So I ended up just reaching out to different individuals. I've been doing a show pretty much every week now for 4 years. The only week I take off is like holiday weekend.
Yes.
So like from Christmas to New Year's, I take a week off. I don't put out an episode just because it's hard to get people to check out an episode during the holidays. And it's a good reset for me to have as well. But other than that, it's just been talking to pretty awesome individuals every single week. Mm-hmm. And just being able to do that and meet people through there, collaborate. I've worked with, I think, over 30 independent artists at this point in total.
Yes.
Putting out my own instrumental music and all kinds of cool stuff. So it's one thing has led to another since 2016, but I'm just happy to be able to do what I enjoy doing. So yeah, I guess that's a good summary. Get us started.
Yes. No, it's crazy how all of that work compounds over time. And it's just maybe those 5 minutes a day, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour even. And you do that continuously for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and you're exceptionally better than you were once you first started. Do you mind telling me a little bit about what genres you started producing in, what styles of music you are inclined to write?
Yeah, for sure. So I've always been a big hip hop fan, really, since I was probably 9 or 10 years old.
Yes.
So that was my first love. And like I said, my friend was also as well. So it really just started me doing hip hop production, which I still do obviously a lot of hip hop, but I do variations of hip hop like boom bap, which is more old school. I do some trap, which is more modern. I really just look at it as anything that I feel is good music. I'm willing to make that. I'm open to different things. And then it's evolved into working with singers, like doing R&B and some pop as well. So if anybody ever hears, I have a Spotify playlist with all the work I've done in the past. If someone were to hear that, they'd hear a lot of different styles, whether it's the stuff that I've done or a co-production I did or things I've worked on with other artists. It doesn't matter. I'm just open to a lot of different things. But hip hop is probably what I would say is still my main source of inspiration. I've been doing a lot more R&B, especially the past couple of years, just working with different singers. And I'm trying to do a lot of different elements in my own work that I'm putting out, like my solo projects and things of that nature. But to me, hip hop's where it began. And yeah, it's the root of it all, I'd say.
Yes. So can you walk me through your music production creation process? Are you a producer who usually starts off with a beat? Do you lay down some chords? Do you play with some plugins, see what works, or is it different every time? How do your songs usually start?
So like I said, I use a software called FL Studio, which is just normal. It's pretty basic software, but it's something that a lot of
DAW.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot of hip hop producers use that one. So that's how I got started. And for me, it's always been starting with the melody because for some reason I can't like start with drums and make anything good. I'm envious of the people that can do the drums first and then they build everything else around it. I'm always like, I have to get the main melody in there. I can hear what this song's going to become. That's usually what I do. And then the next part I'll add is probably the bass line or the drums, depending on what's going to go into the song. Because sometimes, depending on what you start with, that can affect what else goes into the song as well.
Right.
Elements. And I've gotten a lot better at sound selection and just keeping it as simple as possible, not overdoing it. Actually, like working with artists, I learned to simplify it as much as possible.
Yes.
That way they can hear themselves on the song. Mm-hmm. If you do too much, an artist might hear that. And they might scare away. Yeah, you got to keep
leave room for the vocals.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like the vocals are an instrument too. You got to keep that in mind. If you're making it for someone, just give them the space they need. And I've even had people tell me, can we take this part out so I can add these like background vocals to it? So it's just doing that. And then like my own stuff, if I'm just putting out an instrumental, I can do what I want, but I still don't do that much. I'm just keeping it to the point, keeping it short and sweet. I don't even make songs that are that long anymore. That's usually around 2.5 minutes. I might do a longer song if it calls for it or if somebody wants to do something like that. Mm-hmm. When I started out, my song structuring was very weird. I would make 5-6 minute songs for no reason.
Yes.
And I didn't really realize that like a lot of art in that format, especially nowadays where
you lose them in 2 minutes. Yes.
You want to make, relatively speaking, you make shorter songs, you're going to get somebody to listen to the full thing.
Right.
So it was just learning that and just the process has evolved a little bit. But I'd say it's always been the same as how my ear works and then how I'm like putting down the ideas from beginning to end. But I think the biggest thing is just keeping it simple for me. And I'm not really using too many plugins. I'm doing a lot of sampling or working with other people that also make beats or maybe they're instrumentalists. And yeah, I'd say that's pretty much the process as it stands now. Mm-hmm. But it'll be cool to look back maybe 10 years from now and see, you know, what I've learned or the skills I picked up on, and it might change. But melody first, I think that's always going to stick.
Yes.
But, yeah.
No, I always had this songwriting quote that stuck in my head, and it was, the melody captures the audience's attention, but the lyrics keeps them there. And so it's just how the first thing you hear or what sticks with you from a song is that melody. And I'm wondering, do you usually hum the melody first and then find where it is on the piano? Or are you someone who has perfect pitch where you know exactly where the notes are and you can just convert it to a keyboard on your DAW? Just plug in the, you know, how it works in the DAW. You've got your piano notes that you can just program in there. How do you usually approach it?
Yeah. For me, it really just depends on how I'm starting the song. If I have a sample that's already there, I might just put it in, like, I have a sample chopper where I can put it in and manipulate it and change whatever I want. So I might just find, like, a point in the sample that sounds the best to me or something that I see has potential, and then I'll just chop it up, fine-tune it, do those little things. But if I'm starting from complete scratch, I might just pull up a plugin, like maybe a keyboard, and I'll just start hitting whatever feels best. I'll just start messing with random chords. I can't play and I don't know scales and things like that, but I feel like I have a good enough ear now. Like, this actually sounds like it fits together. And I always do, if I don't know what key a song is in, for me at least, I use a site called TuneBat. And you can basically put songs in there and it'll give you the key, the BPM, all that stuff. So then I'll put the initial idea in there. I'll get the key and all that. And then I'll start matching everything else to fit the song as well. But from that, it's just like, how am I going to begin the song? That's really what it is for me. It just depends on what the first element is. And then I go from there. But I feel like, if I could read music or if I was just better at playing, it would be a lot different. Probably a lot easier. But I've just adapted based on the current skill set that I have to be able to still make good music. And luckily, I feel like it's a lot easier to do it as long as you have the ear, but you just know your keys and you're not making things that are so out of tune that it sounds bad. That's a good thing, at least. Mm-hmm. So.
And I'm wondering, when you work with clients, are they clients or more collaborators? Because do they ever have this specific song in mind, or maybe they've got song references where they want it to sound just like Ariana Grande's last track, or they want it to sound like some artist, and you have to analyze that song, see what's in the production, and add it to yours?
So I've had really everything at this point. I've had collaborators and I've had people that are more clients where they want something specific. Usually when it's a case like that, I'll just tell them, send me that reference track, whatever song you want to make in that style. And then what I'll do is I just talk about finding the BPM, finding the key, whatever that key of that song is. Then I'll just start making a new one based on what that song already has. and just building my own thing. And then I might send them a rough draft and say, how's it sounding so far? And then we'll just keep working back and forth until we get something that we feel like that they're proud of. Yeah, we all feel proud of. So I've had that. And then I've had collaborations where I might just be making ideas by myself, and then I'll send them to somebody that I feel it might fit their style.
Yes.
And if they end up writing to it, we end up just
top lining
working that idea back and forth. Yeah, exactly. They put that initial idea down, and then maybe they want me to add another piece in the production before they record the next part. It's really just like every person is totally different as far as what they want to do and how their workflow goes. So for me, it's like, how do I find the way to adapt to what they do while still doing what I do best? And I always try to just have a conversation beforehand with them that's has nothing to do with music. Maybe just see like how long have they been doing it, or what are their goals? What are their end goals? Do they align with what I'm trying to do as well? Really, like when I have that discussion, you can always tell if it's going to work out or not pretty much from the beginning. And I try never to work with anybody that I feel isn't going to be a good match.
Yes.
Luckily, so far, it's been really pretty smooth sailing as far as a lot of songs done and being able to work with some awesome people. And hopefully that continues. I just feel like I'm getting the hang of that. But to answer the question, I think it's just, I've had both at this point, and you just got to take it, you know, each individual at a time and just see what they need and then do your thing, but do it in a way that's going to help them and get their vision across. So that's really what it is. Sure.
Yes. So I'm more of a vocalist where I do more top lining vocal melodies, but I have dabbled into some production. And I'm just wondering, from a producer's point of view, do you do studio sessions with singers, or do you record it in a home studio? And if you're looking at, you're listening to vocals, what do you usually look for?
Yeah. So believe it or not, a lot of the people I've worked with is working remotely. So these are people that are not even near me across the country, or I've worked with artists in the UK before. My artist that I mentioned, JD Trey, we've always worked together. Like I've always recorded him, but we really don't have, I don't have a home studio. It's like a really fancy setup. I usually just have my interface, my laptop, and you can get the job done with the most tools at this point.
I know. It's amazing.
You kind of do that. Yeah. Yeah. And it's great to have too, because you're able to take that on the go. You don't have to just have everything in your house all the time if you don't want to.
I know.
We've always got it. Hey, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, looking back at history and seeing how maybe, you know, the Beatles, even before them, how they recorded songs, and it was expensive, like dramatically expensive to record music. And now you can do it for under $100.
Yeah. We don't know how spoiled we really are sometimes
with
some of the tech, but we really are compared to what it was back then. And being able to do that helped me a lot. And I have recorded a couple other people in person, but not a ton. Just because the majority of the people I've worked with are through social media, through the internet. So unfortunately, at this point, it's still a lot of waiting for people to get things done, because
I know that
A lot of those people might have their own engineers, and they have to pay for studio time in their own town if they don't have a setup at their house. So that's still been a struggle for me, but we find a way to get through it as much as possible. What was the second part of your question?
I asked what you look for in vocals.
What I look for in vocals. See, the thing for me is I feel like I don't judge vocalists that much because I have no vocal talent whatsoever. I'm like not that critical of rappers or singers, as long as it sounds good to me.
Yes.
And I feel like the person is talented and I believe in what they're saying. Then I'm like, okay, but I really let people go the way that they want to go. I might have input here and there, as far as, for example, there's an artist I'm working with right now. His name is The Humble Elder. That's his artist name.
Yes.
We're working on right now. He just sent me a song yesterday, actually. And there's the hook part. He did like the rough vocals for the hook. And I suggested that he doubles up the layering of the vocals. And I was like, what if you had to build? So it starts out with just one take, and then it builds to like two or three, things like that. I'll give you a little that, but I'm not giving input as far as like cadence or the writing style, because I don't have those skills. I feel like when you have those skills, you can give input a lot more. But to me, as long as it sounds good and I feel like it's a good direction that we're going in, I usually just roll with what they got, and I trust that they are going to give a good product at the end of the day. Yeah, I think that's just how it is for me. And like I said, working with people that you enjoy working with, but you might not have that much to be critical about to begin with. So I think that's what that looks like on my end.
Yes. Now I want to concentrate a bit on the marketing aspect of music creation. As a music producer, I'm not sure if you market your own work. I know you've got this podcast and that's a lot of collaborations, but for any independent artists, music producers out there who just want someone else to hear their music or get streams, how would you go about acquiring that?
Yeah. So I think social media is still the best way to go, just because the majority of the platforms are free still. Now all you got to do is make an account and start posting. And for me, the main platform is still Instagram. I post to Instagram every single day, at least once a day. I schedule my posts out way in advance. I have a social media scheduler and I just make content months in advance, plan it all out. So I don't have to worry about it in the moment. I already have things ready to go.
Yes.
But it's just a great way to just organically promote what you're doing. Build a YouTube channel if you want to go that route. If you want to get beats out there and you want to sell stuff, you could go to BeatStars. It's a cool platform that I use. You can post tracks. Artists from all over the world can hear it. They can buy your stuff right to it. And you can get people through there that you end up working with. Even past that, like I've connected with artists on BeatStars that I still work with today from 5 years ago. So it just depends on what you want to do. Like certain producers, all they want to do is work with artists. And that's pretty much all they want to do. They want to get placements, potentially work with like big, huge artists and get plaques and whatever. Other people, they might just want to do their own solo work. They might want to put out an instrumental project or play shows or do whatever. So you just got to establish like what it is you want to aim for and then start trying to find people aligned with that. And just using the platforms for good, obviously just be yourself, be organic, and you end up attracting the right people eventually. Yeah. I think that would be a big thing. For me, I've just done a lot of those things. Like I've worked with artists, but I've also done my own stuff. I just shift. What am I going to focus on this month? What do I want to push? If I have a release coming out, maybe I want to make content strictly around that release and get people's attention. And I'm still like, I promote my podcast through my page and my own brand page as well. But I think just like having a plan is the biggest thing behind everything that you would do as a producer, just like it is as an artist, really no different. And just injecting your personality into content too, because I think a lot of producers, especially, they still hide behind like a logo or a monitor. They might not want to put themselves out there. No one can really relate to that at the end of the day. If you want to have a real connection with people, you got to put yourself out there a little bit and just do some things. Like you don't have to be totally out of your comfort zone all the time, but I would recommend trying to get in front of a camera or just talk about podcasts or do something. Like just let people know who you actually are. And then they'll relate to the music after that. That's where it starts, would be my advice.
Yes. No, it's all about fostering that connection, telling the story behind your music, because it might mean something to you. But at the end of the day, if you don't want to be the only one listening to your music, then you've got to find a way for it to resonate with others.
Exactly. So.
Yes. So now I'd like to open up the floor for you to shout out to your social media channels, to your website, your podcast. Where can people find your music, find your podcast, and see your work?
Yeah. So primarily, like I said, I'm on Instagram, which is at Anthony_Church24. That's where I post pretty much every single day. And you'll see like in the bio, there's my link tree with all the other stuff to it as well. I'm on all streaming platforms, just Anthony Church. You'll see my face. Like if you see how I look, whatever. Got that. The Proven Knowledge Podcast is the name of the show, and that's streaming on all podcast platforms. New episodes are every Tuesday. Like I said, besides the last week of the year, but every Tuesday I post a new episode. So if you're looking to find independent artists or maybe people you've never heard of before, it'd be a great way to find those people. And yeah, that's pretty much what's going on. I have some new music coming out soon, dropping a couple singles in June, which I'm excited about. And then I'm doing my first full instrumental album in September, which is what I'm building to this whole year, which is exciting. So, but other than that, just a lot of content, a lot of new music and the show, and keep building and keep seeing where it goes. So a lot of exciting stuff.
No, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you for your listeners for listening. If you like this podcast episode and you want more episodes like this, then please do share it with a friend or family member. And yeah, thank you. We hope to see you next time.